Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. I'm newly appointed guest host here. I was just tired.
We had to fire the last guy at the end of the last hour.
The last guy was a chucklehead. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Go up and see them if you're in the market for a tractor or a mower or attachments. They got it all going on up there at a full parts service and sales. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com or give them a call. They got a phone too.
Go figure that out.
Yeah, really.
Is it a landline?
I got a landline. Whoa. Yeah, with rolling lines.
Oh, my God.
226-9226. Give them a call. They've got everything you might need in the way of, tractors or attachments, mowers, generators, steel products.
They want to fix their tractor over the phone? Should they call you?
Yeah. We've just installed a new crystal ball, and that is actually working. It's got a few little glitches, shocks the operator every once in a while, but it works pretty good. Yeah, give him a call.
Oh, it's sad. Yeah, very sad.
Sad.
Okay, so we're going to go back immediately to our guest. And if you don't catch our show very often, we like to have the same person on for the whole program just because, I don't know. You know, all the little snippet interviews just they don't work for me. I find them frustrating. Don't learn anything. So we typically have somebody on for an hour, sometimes both hours, and today our guest hostage, I guess we should call him, for the full program is Dr. Shezong Chen. He's a microbiologist in Southern California, comes from China, and is very conversant in the Chinese Communist Party. How about this? Tactics and philosophy, and it's got to be. We've been chatting with him for a year and a half, probably on and off. And the worst case scenario has actually come to pass. Trump administration came in, started rolling all this happy talk with the Chinese Communist Party back, and boom! Now we've got the Bidens and the Biden administration who wants to capitulate on everything. So. Pick up where we left off at the end of the hour there.
Yes. So the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, offers a different, completely different kind of a offense in disguise against the free world that no government knew how to deal with it, because it came with generous. I call it generous Maoism. We will not threaten you. We'll give you something good. The only condition is you mind your own business. Don't care. Don't look into what I do in my backyard, in my home. Right?
So they will give you cheap products from China. Just we expect you not to notice that we do that with slave labor.
Right. So you just enjoy your life. Don't bother to check where that good life came from, mm-hmm. Right? So no government were able to, well, they didn't experience that before, and no government had the moral clarity to resist that, right? So that is one human weakness. We'll go back to that later. So I call it generous Slavism. That was 30 years ago, a quarter century ago. Mm. And now, after quarter century, we have raised the CCP. We have helped the CCP become the second most powerful economy in the world. Now, situations start to change. The generous Maoism is no longer that generous. It becomes more barbaric. Now it demands more. In fact, it robs more, it steals more. That's what I mentioned earlier, that the CEB began to mess up the world economic order, right? What used to be norm, you know, you mend your own things, you produce your own things, you make money the honorable way, honorable way, right? They change all that, right? They, whatever they can make money, it goes. And the world starts to accept that as well. In fact, imitate a little bit of that to a certain extent. At the same time, the Biden administration needs some legitimacy now. When the CCP first rolled out the generous barbarism, because it needs something in exchange, right? It will give out economic favor that didn't come from them anyway. That come from their robbery, their exploitation of Chinese people. So they gave themselves some of that out in exchange for free world recognition of their legitimacy. So it's a money for political exchange. Right. Now the situation has changed. I wonder how many people caught when Tiger Young said, many people do not have confidence in your own democracy. What he was referring to, I'm sure, right? He was referring to and implying to their host, you got in power. You got in the White House through a questionable election. And so the Trump administration now also needs legitimacy. Unlike 30 years ago, right, when we American government, when the old Bush administration, we need no apology. We need no legitimacy in our moral high ground. The current administration needs that. So that is a significant change from a quarter century ago. So there is this need of helping each other. And that's why I say now our government is something that I do not recognize anymore. For many years I've been here, I have never thought, well, maybe inside this country, for internal political conflict, they pull some tricks, political tricks, right? But to conspire or work with a foreign power, that I have never seen before. And I see that now, because there's a need for legitimacy for this invasion. But the strange thing, the worrisome thing is that is from external. Why internally our public do not see it? I'm sure a lot of people see it, okay? The conservative, particularly the church people, I think they still see it, right? Because to see something clearly, you need a clear mind, morally clear mind. I know what I'm saying is may not be politically correct, okay? But I see this country, I now see this country has been misguided by a lot of things over dozens of years. I remember in one previous show, I asked Aaron, I said, is this white supremacy a veiled attack against American exceptionalism? So that was when I first started to think about this. Now it becomes much more clear. That is exactly what has gone on for the past, I don't know, even half a century. that American traditional values have been undermined from within for the past half century, probably. I think there has been a demonizing and discrimination, and now even a persecution against honesty and goodness in this country. It's a slow process. It's a communism process, internal process. Some of them are internal, a lot of it is from external. But that demonization is, first of all, the political correctness come from there.
Yeah. The political correctness is what kind of lures everybody in, and then, not to put too fine a point on it, but you start giving everybody free money, and pretty soon people say, you know, well, hey, this is kind of great.
Actually, this is pretty good.
This is good. I might not mind it. So I like when the government gives me free money.
Until next month when I don't have any money again or a job.
Take a really quick break here. We'll be right back with our guest, Xiaozong Chen, Dr. Xiaozong Chen. And can't leave the doctor off. You become a microbiologist, you should be called doctor. God bless you for that. I don't know how you even took those classes. I would never have made it. We will be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
.us.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
That about says it all.
Yeah, I don't know though. How many times can we be fooled?
Yeah, really.
I have always been impressed by your ability to find a file for everything.
I was telling Bill I've got 438 of them so far, and so now I'm having to group them in little chunks, like, you know, things about China, things that are patriotic, things about the environment. Otherwise, it's too much to scroll through. But honestly, that government cheese song has just been ringing in my ears of late.
Yeah.
And that's all part and parcel of it. But I think you're totally right about the political correctness. Because what that has done, and I, well, like yesterday, what did the guy say in the grocery store? It was fruity something or other.
Fruity alternative.
Oh, yeah. The checker at the grocery store last night, he tells this lady in line, I overheard him, she was the lady behind me, we were bagging groceries, and he says, oh, yeah, that's like a fruity alternative.
He was talking about amaretto, and she had a different brand there, and that's when he referred to it as a fruity alternative.
And so I went up to him and I said, hey, are we still allowed to say fruity alternative? the guy kind of looked at me, and I was laughing, so I mean, he knew I was kidding. But I said, you know, we have to be able to say these things if we want to, because it's funny, for heaven's sakes. And that's the thing. I mean, people are so worried about, you know, what you might say. Gosh, would that not just offend someone? I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not saying be mean to people, although, you know, there's a time and place for that too, I suppose. But not just to be rude or crass or whatever, but to be able to say things that are funny. We used to be able to, especially with humor, we used to be able to joke around about things, and now it's all about silencing everybody.
Well, now humor is nothing more than hurting people's feelings, and
that's
so
right.
You just can't joke around
about
anything.
You have to now go to a class and learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
sensitivity training, yeah.
What a great way to bring in a new culture. Silence everybody and then load their mouth with a whole new vocabulary.
Promise them future checks. Just let us continue what we're doing because the check's coming. You're going to get more money here pretty quick.
Free money.
In the meantime, they're behind the scenes working their magic.
But that was part of the January 6th event as well. You know, people didn't, when you said that, people didn't stand up and speak out against that. Because if you did, you were in on it. You know, you were probably a seditionist and a treasoner and a, what else were you? You were rioters, kind of.
So,
old.
Yeah, I confess that I trusted the system. I trusted, once I came to the United States, you know, tell your story, true story. Less than a month after I came to the United States, I came here actually in 1981 to attend a graduate school. And one of my classmates asked me, American classmate asked me, I mean, how are you getting along, basically? You know, I'm new here. I was new here. And I spoke very little English at that time. And I said, I told her, actually, I remember, and I told her, I said, you know, it's been only a couple of weeks, but I feel I actually was born here. So, I'm sure I'm not unique. A lot of people came to this country, and they found that this country is a natural fit for human nature. I'll talk about human nature, well, hopefully today we have time. If this fits our human nature. So, I like this and I trust this in so much that I didn't apply what I learned, my experience in China, to look at this country. And I only recently, when I see what's going on here, which shocked me, and I start to look back for the, you know, okay, you know, what happened for the past century. Half century. And then I start to see our foundation, our moral foundation, our country's foundation has been slowly chipping away at its basis. So, when I say that we have gone through a demonization, discrimination, now, you know, persecution against, honest and goodness, I do not say it lightly. Political correctness, to start out with, it is wrong to criticize what's wrong is wrong. Basically, you cannot say that's wrong, because when you say that's wrong, you are hurting somebody. So, political correctness, its their essence is to wipe out the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say what's wrong is wrong because that's going to hurt, right? But then this country has this history, has its unique history. The United States is one of the most unique countries. Probably the United States and China is two very unique countries in my view, okay? Again, another thing that may not be politically correct. But this country was not founded on ethnic, geological, cultural, or other basis like the other countries. This country is founded on some ideas. So this country has its national ideal. It's called American exceptionalism. It's called the shining city on the hill. So this country, its people, has or have high requirements, self-requirements. They have high standards for themselves. And you cannot defeat that. So they found a way to defeat that as a discrimination. When you set up a higher requirement, morally high requirement, you are a discrimination. For other people, because they have a different standard, okay? When you say you don't steal, you are a discrimination against people who, occasionally commit some theft, right? So basically being good, eventually, subconsciously, it's saying being good is discrimination against not so good. That's how it evolved. And the perfect target for them to start to sell this. Okay, there's a history. I'll make the history connection later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a history in this country where a natural target is the African American, because it came from different cultural backgrounds. Right? But they have been here many centuries. They are American. They are American. They until somebody make an issue about it. I'm Chinese American, okay? I bought into this system. I bought into this, the system that really fits human nature. Nobody forced it up on me. And then they make a racial issue, a natural target, and say, you have to discriminate again.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, and they make a beauty out of it, okay, the other day, a week ago, I had, 2 weeks ago, I had a good talk. It's a friend, so I had a good talk, but straightforward discussion.
Do this for me? Hold that thought so I don't have to cut your story off. Can you believe, I think we're time traveling, but we have to take a break again. It's really only every 15 minutes, but
wow. It
happens. I know, that's what I was thinking. Wow. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started long ago. Now we have come so far. We keep our faith when there's no way out. Where there's little hope, we show no doubt. We know the distance.
We should take that song and turn it into one of those shots that they're so fond of these days.
Yeah.
Give everybody a little injection.
A little injection in the arm.
There
Remember
you go.
Who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the story with your friend.
Yeah. So, we're having a chat here today, but the topic we covered are actually very serious, very heavy. And I hope more people will be talking about it.
Anyway, I do too.
So we had a very sincere, I hope it's a sincere discussion on racial issues. We obviously whole different points. Right? And after several, back and forth, I asked her this question. I said, okay, name a single country. Name another country that has treated African ethnics better than the United States. I said, I tell you what, I'm Asian American. I cannot think of another country except, Taiwan, that has treated Chinese better than the United States. Chinese have been treated worse in their own country in China. Right? So name a single country that has treated African ethnics better than the United States. And she couldn't come up with one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if this is country, it's the most racist country, how come we cannot even name another country that has treated ethnic Africans better? It should be very easy. If this is the most racist country, then every other country should have treated better than this country, right? So, and this is what I realized, the fundamental problem, one of the most serious problems of this country, that significant, large proportion of this country has somehow been indoctrinated or deceived to believe something that is not factual.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know why they believe in it. When you go over facts, that doesn't add up. Okay? And this is what I refer to I didn't have as much substance at that time because I just start to realize this problem. When we end our January, talk show, I said this country is in, would be in for a shock. We have a deeply divided country which were with two parts, cannot even believe in the same thing. There's no common basis for them. And now I realize the problem went a lot deeper than I originally realized at that time. That everything we have is upside down. Not a lot of things that we have is upside down than we used to think. our moral system, our very foundation has been chipping away, changed, deviated, right under our own feet without our really noticing it until it's where it is now. And I call that, in fact, when you think about it, it's a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
It's not a violent crime against humanity. It's a deceptive, peaceful crime against humanity because humanity is defined by human nature. And human does have human nature. When we change this, when we go against human nature, that is a crime against humanity. Let me name one. When you have bathrooms, or restrooms, when you cannot even refer to somebody as their, you know, biological sex, that is a crime against humanity.
Yeah, as a scientist, that's got to be incredibly offensive.
Yeah. So that is, now when I come to this, I realize that is a common interest between the Biden administration and the CCP. Because what, so now I see, I read some commentary and even Hillary Clinton came out and said, well, the U.S. has to defend Taiwan. Well, she was the one that gave a lot of power to the CCP when she was Secretary of State. But that's okay. Right? What I want to say is now a lot of people think Taiwan is the bottom line of the CCP. No. That is, when the Trump administration first came in, came into the White House, I actually tried to I wrote something and then for somebody before, I don't know where it ended with. But at that time, I really tried to say that, Taiwan is not the bottom line of the CCP. Right? The bottom line of the CCP is its upside down value system. Its hold on, its power, its whole power basis is that upside down moral or value system. And in this country now, we start to have administration based on a similar kind of upside down, crime against humanity kind of a basis. And that, I think, is their common ground. Now, it's pretty hard. I know it may be hard to convince people that those two kind of administrations have some kind of fundamental interest, value system. Well, we can have more discussion on it, but they are built on the same kind of upside down value system that's against human nature. And so, right now in this country, it's already in China for years, right? But in this country, everything is good. You cannot criticize anybody because everything is good, right? Anything goes, right? Except goodness. Right? You, if you criticize anything that's wrong, you're politically incorrect. Except
right.
Criticizing goodness, criticizing honesty, criticizing stating facts. That is okay. So, to me, that is an upside-down value system. People may not see it right away. let me tell you. Now I'll give you the example I was talking about. The Democrats take advantage of African Americans, took advantage of the historical mistakes. The CCP took advantage of the Chinese peasant to get into power. They make up story of how they've been taken advantage of by the landlords, and so they start the so-called Peasants' Revolution. And with the Peasants' Revolution getting into power, well, we can spend another hour on this, but that was part of their strategy. And this is part of the radical strategy in taking advantage of the African American, their story as well. They claim they represent their interests. They don't. Just look out. Before long, they're going to turn against, like the CCP, turning against the peasants.
Everybody's in line for that. I mean, nobody ever escapes that. You start demonizing one, then it's just, wait for your turn.
Yeah, but pretty soon everybody's going to get a shot at you.
Since we now know you're listening to the music, we thought we'd play one for you for the little bathroom bit you did earlier, because it's just fun, and in the interest of not being politically correct, we might as well. Might as well play the song I've been dying
throw
to play.
Throw down, Aaron.
It's Travis. It's Travis in there. He's going to throw down. I didn't have it queued. He saves me.
He'll be around to take the fun of it.
Yeah, we don't take calls, by the way. No. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Hopefully that's not right away.
We couldn't resist. A little fun. But it's a little too close to home. I mean, those songs are old. A lot of these songs are old, and you look back at what we used to think was funny, and it's like, oh, man, now that's real, and you're not allowed to laugh.
You're not allowed to laugh.
Exactly right, too close to home. We're down to the last 10 minutes.
Correct.
There's just so many topics to cover. But I would like to spend the last 10 minutes in something we have discussed before. That is the human conflict. There are only two kinds of human conflict. What we're going through, in the larger picture, we have not escaped the human problem. There are only two kinds of conflicts in human world. The kind that the animal even know how to do. That is the interest-based conflict. Fighting for territory, fighting for spouse, or fighting for resource. Right? Even animal knows how to do that. And then there's a second kind of conflict that only human is capable of doing. And that I used to say that the conflict of truth and lie, and right and wrong, not at love and hate. And while the interfaith conflict is most prevalent in the human world, there really is the ideal, the second kind, so the only human is capable of kind, the ideological-based complex that really matters, that has a bigger impact. For example, the Cold War, the World War II, or your religious war, or, you know, belong to that type. And the conflict between the United States and CCP has evolved for the past dozens of years. Originally, the communism had disguised their ideological intent in the economic enticement. But its whole ideology is hiding behind those political interests. Now it's surfacing. And the greatest of human, or the greatest ideological conflict that human is capable of, to me, is what I say, humanity, human value. Whether you believe in human values or you're against human values do not come from human values. Even in this country's founding, they claim that we're being endowed with inalienable rights from our creator. So there's a conflict of where our human nature comes from, and that is what is on the line right now. And that has actually been going on in China for a long time. The communism is set up to destroy human nature. And that comes from demons. And with where the United States is right now, that is also coming to this country. And I hope more and more people, we probably need more time to discuss that, but I hope more and more people come to see that, that what's in this country, what's going on in this country now is more than just partisan fight, more than a fair election, but rather something much more fundamental. Like what I said, you know, when the value system was upside down, that is a system based on anti-theist. And the only, but I'm not, as bad as it is, there's a hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of fitting here at the start of Easter week, you know, to talk about that, because that is the goal, is to take, if you can take God out of society and then at the same time rewrite history, right? Let's convince everybody that our country was founded on slavery. We've done, did a show on the 1619 Project for the people who have never heard of that. Fan back through our archives and look at that. So change the history, get rid of God, and the CCP's plan falls kind of right into place.
And so how do we win that? There's an example. The CCP has been persecuting Falun Gong for the past 24 years. And so obviously Falun Gong people have set an example of at least gave the world hope that there are people who can withstand that kind of onslaughter.
Yeah, the resistance of that. Tell me this. Is Falun Gong the, I mean, that's, besides the Uyghurs, that's really all you hear about in China as far as, you know, religious sort of persecution. Is that kind of the largest group? Is that why we hear about that so much? Okay.
It's not only the largest group, that that's also the most persistent group. And that's a group that the CCP is afraid of the most because it has not been able to conquer that group. CCP has been able to conquer every other group.
Oh, that's got to be kind of terrifying for them.
Yeah. And then also, more importantly, that group is bringing back the right side of value. And that is the most important thing. And we need people to bring back the right side of value. And that hope is in, you know, the church's people, the conservative people, because they have the right side of value. We need to go back to be able to tell our children what is right and wrong. We need to go back to teach our public. You know, there is difference between right and wrong. To tell the difference is not politically incorrect. To say everything is equal except, you know, goodness, that is wrong. And we need to write our value system back right.
But I think you hit it on the head earlier when you can't even admit societally that there are two sexes, male and female, when you muddy the water there, right and wrong, it seems like it's pretty easy to erase that.
It starts from there.
Exactly. I mean, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. So just in case people thought those agendas were different, nope, it's all the same stuff. You know what? I know we're going to run out of time, and we've got like a minute left, but I really, instead of just cutting you off like we do every other time, I wanted to actually thank you so much for coming on with us. You bring a really good perspective and one that is incredibly informed. You grew up under the system that you're watching our country not fight against, I guess. I'm not going to say we're embracing it, but we're not fighting against it. I don't think people are afraid of it like they should be. Really, I think they should be much more afraid of it. I know we'll have you on again in the future, and we really appreciate your input and your insight. Anything you'd like me to post for today, please email me, and I'll put it on the website too.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh,
we
sure.
Love
sure.
it, and we really appreciate you.
Thanks for
joining us.
Thanks
a lot, Dr. Chen. You can find this interview and send it to your friends and get them all plugged in with what's going on in the world at wethepeopleradio.us.
The odds are that we will probably be.